Welcome back to Cinema Three-Way. This week we are talking about Samuel Fuller. The movie we're discussing at the moment is The Steel Helmet, 1951 Korean War movie. Samuel Fuller started his working life in the newspapers. By 16, he was a nation-traveling crime reporter after being copyboy to William Randolph Hearst's right-hand man. When World War II broke out, Samuel Fuller, now a 30-year-old reporter and screenwriter, enlisted in the U.S. Army as an infantryman in the 1st Infantry Division, the Big Red One. The average age of his fellow soldiers was 19. The old man would kill other men in North Africa, Sicily, on the beaches of Normandy, and all the way across Europe into the Falkenau death camp of Czechoslovakia. Decorated multiple times, Fuller killed over 100 men and buried almost all of his original comrades along the way. It is from this experience that The Steel Helmet is born. And, in fact, Fuller had started writing scenes for it even as he was fighting in Sicilian mud holes and French hedgerows. To say that this movie has an emotional reality would be an understatement. It is, in fact, one of the purest movies ever made about the visceral experience of combat as an infantryman. Quite simply, this movie was made by an infantryman for infantrymen. No sentimentalist drivel like A Walk in the Sun or really any other American war movie up until Oliver Stone's Vietnam autobiography, Platoon. The dialogue is brutal and as raw as the combat, the patrol struggles to survive. Just survive. And we can all settle our differences later. And differences there are among the members of this patrol, but they are always set aside when the enemy shows up. Inexperience, race, creed, color, all are secondary to being infantrymen, American infantrymen. No disgrace is ignored. Many are highlighted. In fact, this is the first mention of the internment camps for Americans of Japanese descent ever in movies, and the only one for many years still to come. Jim Crow? Yep, we have that, and we'll solve it too, a little bit at a time, says the black medic treating the wounded Chinese communist officer who can't fathom his loyalty to a country so deeply flawed. This is the essence of Fuller. No denial, no cleaning up or ignoring the problems, but still a better country than any other, a better system, democracy, humanity, as Fuller declares, and one well worth killing for or dying for. Fuller hates war, but he loves warriors. He was one and would be till the day he died. The Steel Helmet was made in 1951, during the Korean War, and was only Fuller's third film. When asked about it in 1980 by Mark Hamill on the set of his autobiography picture, The Big Red One, Fuller only replied, "Griffith Park, 8 days." Where he shot it and how long it took. Fuller, even at 68 years old, still straight to the point by the shortest possible route, just like his patrol. This movie is straight up, no chaser, ruthless, and marks the ascendancy of the Fuller style. Sharp, fearless, unpredictable, and laced with so much reality, personally experienced reality, that no one else could make these films. They are, quite simply, Fuller films. This is one of his best and most important. Bearson, what have you got to say about The Steel Helmet?
Well, a steel helmet with a bullet hole in it. Our introduction to The Steel Helmet, a visual title card. Up from the beneath the helmet rises the thick face of a U.S. infantryman, a dog face, Sergeant Zack, played by regular Fuller collaborator and alter ego, Gene Evans. Cigar stuck in his teeth, hands tied behind his back, he struggles to free himself, writhing in a pile of bodies that once was his patrol. This is like no ordinary helmet and no ordinary soldier. Or he's totally ordinary. High suspense instantly. Why is it the soldier played by John Wayne or another cinema Superman? Well, Fuller said that would have stripped all the reality from the movie. His soldiers are ordinary and deeply flawed, some of them. Simplicity makes it perfect. The lack of big stars is one of the things that makes this movie so believable, actually. The war this time is the Korean War. The battlefield will be a place of ultimate peace, a Buddhist temple. If the patrol can get there, that is. There is no insurance against enemy snipers or officers' incompetence. The Fuller dialogue is as sharp here as it will ever be, and that is like a razor blade. Fuller does not shy away from criticism of American racism, of its disgraceful entrenchment of American citizens, of Japanese extraction, of the systematic oppression and discrimination against American blacks or American soldiers, callousness, distrust, and indifference towards the Korean people themselves. In the midst of this, Fuller's sergeant is saved by a Korean child, who he then first rejects, but later accepts and loves, a boy dubbed Short Round by Sergeant Zack, who says, "I saved your life, your heart is now in my hands. I melted at that. The different components of this movie are amazing. In spite of all the paradox and differences in American society, the patrol, whenever confronted by the enemy, acts to save each other, to fight for each other, and to defend each other. They stick together without hesitation, no matter what their differences are. Much to the amazement of a captured Chinese officer who thinks Americans decadent, stupid, and racist. That may be, but these are infantrymen, and there is no end to this story, as Fuller shows us. As a parting message, this is no ordinary war movie. Not at all. And Fuller is brilliant just one more time.
Well, I can't wait. Let's watch this now.